Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And welcome to another weekend edition of Focus on the Valley. Frank Rush being joined today by Carla Knapp from the Indianapolis Zoo. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
So everything all nice and furry at the zoo, I guess?
Yeah, things are coming up spring at the zoo. Yeah, we've got lots of things.
Tell us about what, I know you guys have several new projects for this year. I mean, technically, when's the zoo's actual season? I mean, because I think a lot of folks don't really think about you being, I mean, you're really not open over the winter except for the Christmas light display. So, but things are back going now, right?
Actually, we are open year round.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah. Okay. So if you feel like coming January, February for a visit with our furry friends, please come on over.
And the polar bears probably like it that time of year, right?
We have a lot of animals that enjoy the colder weather. Yeah, for sure.
So you've got a couple of new things that are coming up this year. So tell us about some of the new attractions that folks want to see.
Sure. Well, one of the things you can do brand new right now is to come and see our brand new dolphin presentation. This debuted just a few weeks ago. And if you've been to the zoo, then you probably already know we have dolphin presentations that are free all the time for guests every single day. Mm-hmm. So you're still going to see our dolphins up close doing those amazing, very powerful and agile moves that people are really loving to see from our dolphins. You've got that. And then we're going to add in a message that is brand new about ways that people here in Indiana can help animals all over the oceans. And it's simple things like, refusing a straw if you go to a restaurant, or bringing your own grocery bags if you go grocery shopping. Things like that can make a huge impact for oceans, for animals in the oceans.
Yeah, now the dolphin shows, I know that those are always kind of popular among people, especially during the really hot summer months, because if you sit in the first five rows, you get cooled off.
Absolutely. You sure do. That splash zone, you get cooled off immediately.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. Now, how many dolphins do you actually have at the zoo?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that we have about 9 or 10 dolphins in our pod right now. Right. So we have a really good sized pod.
And of course, now how many people does it actually take that are in charge of running that and actually taking care of the dolphins?
For our dolphins, we have a team of trainers that works specifically with our dolphins. Mm-hmm. So that's a dedicated group of about, I would say maybe a dozen people,
right,
that are working with the dolphins, helping to do training, different interactions. But then we also have a full veterinary team. So those people are just so very knowledgeable and caring and provide absolutely everything that all of our animals need, not just our dolphins, but all of the animals around the zoo, you know, so that they're receiving the very best care.
When you take a look at the dolphins, though, you stop and think, where do you find people to work with dolphins in Indiana? It's not exactly something we have in great abundance around here. So where do these people come from that actually work with them?
You know, we have people who have grown up here in central Indiana and come to the zoo. They meet our dolphins, meet other animals, and they discover that they have a love and a passion for caring for animals. So some of those trainers come from right here. And then we have others who have come from around the country to come and be a part of our zoo, because we do have a reputation as one of the very best zoos in the nation for animal care.
I was going to say, the Indianapolis Zoo does have a very good reputation and has had for a very long time. And because of that, you also get to do some other neat things and a lot of other places don't. And that leads us into some of the newer exhibits that are coming up this year. Tell us what you've got on the calendar for this year.
Sure. Well, I think something that a lot of people are going to be excited for is our brand new mystery park featuring sloths. So inside our mystery park presented by Kroger, you're going to have this. It's an outdoor experience. Mm-hmm. So you get to come in and it's filled with lush green tropical plants. And you're going to walk through misters. So it's kind of foggy. It's a little bit mysterious. And it's a cooling experience too. So it's going to be perfect for the summer. And you're going to walk into this clearing, and we would have their animals, including sloths, that you can meet up close. And I think a lot of people are going to be very excited for this.
You guys have pictures of them on your website, right?
Yeah, we sure do. And if you're familiar with sloths, you know they're very cute, kind of fuzzy, funny looking animals, and they love to hang out in trees. So they spend the majority of their lives hanging out actually upside down in trees. So they're a very cool animal.
Yeah, and they don't move real fast. So.
True.
You might think that they're kind of fake if you just look at them because they don't move a lot. So
yeah, they definitely take life at their own pace, for sure.
For those that are maybe in tune to things that are a little bit more dangerous, you've got another display up there that will either freak you out or really make you happy. And probably the kids, especially the boys, will like it. Oh, everybody else will look at it and just go, no. Tell us about that.
Sure. So you're talking about our new extreme snakes exhibit.
Yeah.
And this is going to be focusing on size, speed, and venom. So these are some of the most extreme species all over the planet, including what is known as the world's most deadly snake, and that is the black mamba.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you don't have just anybody. I mean, the trainers... They've got to be pretty careful. Even, you know, even the experts have to be careful dealing with these.
Oh, absolutely. You know, our animal care team is just incredible, and they're not afraid working this with snakes at all. Like I would be terrified. But they're very knowledgeable, and they know to have a proper respect for these species. They're very safe and very cautious whenever they handle them. And we do everything with all sorts of safety protocols because we want our animals to be safe. We want our staff and our guests to be safe all the time.
One of the things that we mentioned, the Indianapolis Zoo has a really good reputation as far, you know, as zoos throughout the country. A lot of people look at you guys with a whole lot of respect for what you do. Part of that is due to the fact that conservation is a very big part of what you do. Yeah, it's neat that people get to come see the animals. And you, in all honesty, will get some people that will say, well, you keep them caged up and they're in an area, but they're not allowed to roam free in the world. Problem is, though, is that out in the real world, a lot of these species are becoming extinct or getting close to it. And because of the work you guys do, you educate the public, but you also are keeping these animals safe.
Absolutely. You're so right. Animal conservation is at the heart of absolutely everything we do at the Indianapolis Zoo. We're very proud to be one of only about 10% of accredited zoos in the nation. And whenever you reach that level, it's because you are providing the very best care to animals. You're participating in conservation work and research and education for our communities. So every single day, whenever people come to the Indianapolis Zoo, we want them to engage with our animals and really fall in love with these species. Because you're right, wild animals across our planet are disappearing. We have so many animals at the zoo, so many species that are vulnerable and endangered, critically endangered. So they're at the highest risk of extinction. We want people to come and connect with our animals and really learn what they can do to help save these species.
You guys actually do help folks to learn by some of the displays. I mean, if you want to just walk through and go, oh, that's cute, and look through the window or wherever, and there you go. But there's usually some kind of descriptor around nearby that kind of gives you a little bit of a history about the animals.
Absolutely, we do. And that's really my favorite thing, is to really take your time as you walk around. You see an animal and, you know, you take a minute and you watch. And then we have educational signage around that's going to tell you a little bit more about not just this animal that you're seeing, but the species as a whole. Some of the conservation issues that species is facing out in the wild. Our staff is usually available also to help connect with guests and provide them a little bit more information so that you're taking away a full experience from your visit to the zoo.
And one of the things, too, now this is one of the things that probably a lot of folks don't get to see, but behind the scenes is a full staff of vets and scientists that help not only take care of the animals, but also do the research, too, so that we are constantly learning more and more about them.
Absolutely. And I think a really great example of that is inside of our Simon Scott International Orangutan Center. So we're so very fortunate to have as our zoo president, he's Dr. Rob Shoemaker, and he's one of the world's leading experts on orangutans. And He works with them there. You can go to the center every day and watch the types of research that he's doing to understand better what orangutans, how they learn. And this is helping us in the zoo world to better care for these animals. But then it also helps researchers and conservationists out in the field to help to save these species. Because again, these are critically endangered animals. We need to be doing everything that we can to save them.
One of the things that you learn is the proper pronunciation. It's orangutan and not orangutang, which is
exactly
which is what a lot of people make that mistake. As we talk about conservation and how you actually try to take care of the species that are out there, you guys have some newborns that are actually going to be on display this year, right?
Oh, we
sure
do.
At least one that I know of. Anyway.
Yeah, we have a couple, actually. I think the one that is probably going to be a favorite for a lot of people is our giraffe calf, and her name is McKenna, and she just turned 2 months old, so she's still very young and growing very fast. She's very curious too, so you're going to see her out in her yard with the rest of her herd, and she's out exploring. She's kind of running around and jumping around, seeing as much as a giraffe does run and jump around.
Yeah.
But she is very explorative and likes to kind of figure things out. And she's so fun to watch.
And a lot of people may have been, over the past several months, there have been several giraffes born here in the States. That, a lot of folks have been, you know, through technology, it's all great. We can all watch this live on TV or on our computer screens now. And a lot of folks have been watching that. And here's a chance to actually see, like you said, only 2 months old after the fact. And I think probably folks are going to be surprised. At 2 months old, this giraffe is bigger than most humans. Actually, she was when she was first born.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be kind of neat for folks to get to see that, because she's not short.
No, you're right. She was 6 feet tall whenever she was born.
Yeah.
And just in that short 2 month span, she's grown over a foot. So she's going to be quite a bit bigger by her first birthday.
And one of the things I know that you can do, I don't know if we can actually do this with the new one or not, but it used to be too, you could actually go and you put a quarter in the box or whatever, and you can actually kind of give treats to the giraffes and actually have them eat right out of your hand.
Yeah, we do that. It's going to be starting up here in just a couple of weeks.
Okay.
We do have giraffe feedings where you're going to come and you get to meet our keepers, which I think is very cool also.
Right.
You get to meet our keepers. They're going to help you to feed our giraffes. And it's a very cool experience. So the giraffes come over to the platform, and it's so awe-inspiring to be in the presence of an animal that is so large.
One of the other ones that's out there too, one of the new ones is what, Kavi? Or is it Kavi?
Yes, how do you pronounce that? Kavi.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, Kavi is our gibbon baby. And gibbons are so fun because they're apes, but they're one of the smaller apes, and they are very fast and love to swing through the trees. So we have our gibbon family that is going to go out for the very first time now that the weather is starting to warm up. And our gibbons, if you've been into our forests exhibit, you've probably heard them singing. They're very vocal, and that's a lot of fun, especially for the little kids.
The Botanical Garden is another very popular place. It's a little bit separated from the actual zoo itself, but still a lot of folks like to go check that out.
Absolutely, and it's included with zoo admission. So we absolutely encourage people to come on over to the gardens. Check out, we have 3 acres of outdoor gardens, plus we have our indoor conservatory, which is a beautiful tropical experience that is now featuring our butterfly kaleidoscope exhibit.
The Indianapolis Zoo is not really what you would necessarily call a theme park, even though it's fun, it's cool, you charge admission, but the proceeds go to actually furthering the work, which is not necessarily to entertain, although that's a nice side effect, but to carry out the work that we've already talked about, right?
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. We have conservation partners that we work with all over the globe. And one of the very cool ones that I just learned about yesterday, actually, with our new sloth exhibit, we have a partnership now with a rescue in Panama. So these are people who are helping to rescue injured or orphaned sloths as they are being displaced in the rainforest. So that's just one example of the many conservation organizations we work with that are doing incredible work to save species all over the planet.
And because of the work that you do, I'll give you a second too to go ahead and plug the fact that, yeah, okay, it's nice if somebody goes up for a one-time deal and you pay your admission and get in. But if you want to become a member and actually really help out on a regular basis, that's kind of nice too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? It's wonderful. We love our member families because they are giving back a little bit more to help our mission of animal conservation. But you know what? Those memberships are absolutely the best value because you have 12 months of unlimited zoo visits. It's free parking. Plus, we've got all kinds of events that you can come to for free, including membership exclusive events. You can come and preview our brand new exhibits before they even open to the public. There's so many incredible benefits to becoming a zoo member. And it again, it is such a great value.
I'll put you on the spot and give you a minute if you want to plug a couple of events that are coming up this year. If you want to do it off the cuff here. So
sure. I think one of the events that I really love are our summer concert series. So you get to come and enjoy a day at the zoo and then stay late because we're going to entertain you all night long with some local bands. We've got Zoolapalooza, which is a Friday night series and features some everything from, you know, cover bands that do 80s music and classic rock to some kind of fun, funkier sounds. And then Thursday night, that series is Animals and All That Jazz. So if you're a fan of jazz music, you get to come bring a chair and relax to the sounds of smooth jazz throughout the summer months.
Garland Knapp with the Indianapolis Zoo is with us today. If folks want to find out more, of course, just like everybody's on the big web out there. So where do we find you at?
If you go to indianapoliszoo.com, that is absolutely the best place to find all the information you'll need to plan your visit. And we always encourage people to go on and purchase tickets there. If you purchase in advance, that is the best way to save money. And I mean, everybody wants to save money on your travel. So the farther in advance you buy the tickets, the more you're going to save.
And of course, you're a very social group of people over there too, right?
We are. Yeah, you're right.
So we can find you on Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are at Indianapolis Zoo.
Garland Knapp with the Indianapolis Zoo. Thank you. We hope to see you this summer at the zoo. That's it for Focus on the Community this week. If you missed any part of the show, want to hear more, drop by the website. It's all posted there as a podcast, and we will see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.